The Guardian. When we talk about online society and community, issues of power dynamics come up a lot. Who wields power in social media discourse? Who feels safe online and who doesn't? Who feels represented and who doesn't? You've probably heard something about the manosphere before, you know, internet communities where guys go to vent their anger or their fear about women, and particularly about feminism. Of course, misogyny itself is nothing new, but some of these communities can be pretty toxic, even hateful, and they've raised a lot of questions for online society. I'm Leah Alexander, and welcome to Chips with Everything from The Guardian. Our guest today is Angela Washko, a game developer, writer, a teacher at Carnegie Mellon University. Angela has been doing both art and research about the self in virtual space for some time now, particularly when it comes to issues of gender, and she's even done some deep dives into the manosphere.
So I'm Angela Washko, and I'm an artist, a video game developer, and a writer. I also teach at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. I sort of transitioned from doing a lot of performances inside massively multiplayer online role-playing games, most frequently inside World of Warcraft. I was operating as the Council on Gender Sensitivity and Behavioral Awareness in World of Warcraft for 4 years. And more recently, I've been interested in actually making some of my own games. Recently, I've been working on a long-term research project, which is manifesting in the form of a sort of dating simulator game where you interact with a bunch of pickup artists.
Angela says it was in World of Warcraft that she first started to notice that the experience of players who identified as women was different from the others.
I'm a long-term gamer. I've been gaming since as long as I could be in front of a video game console. I started playing World of Warcraft right around when it came out at the end of 2005, beginning of 2006. So it's important for me in terms of talking about this particular project that I came from the perspective of a player to the sorts of things that I ended up doing. In World of Warcraft, as a woman, especially as I got to more competitive and more social aspects of the game, it was very clear to me that women had a very different experience on the servers that I played on than men, and frequently experienced exclusion, sort of stereotypical behavior, basically being assumed that they were biologically less capable than other male players.
Interestingly enough, Angela says that she found it hard at times to get other women to rally around this cause or to speak out about their own exclusion. So she ended up being a pretty visible public facilitator of discussions on gender and harassment within World of Warcraft.
And there are certainly games that handle harassment and inclusivity in much more thoughtful, thorough way, like Final Fantasy XIV, for example. But anyway, yeah, so what ended up happening was I noticed this language coming out and a lot of players who came out to me as being men, which are most players in World of Warcraft, talking about the manosphere, talking about men's rights activism, talking about men going their own way and all of these subcultures and communities and ideologies around men's oppression. And I was so curious about this whole men's oppression thing.
As she began to study the communities around these popular online games, she began to notice that there was a correlation between the competitiveness of a community and how exclusionary it was toward women, people of color, LGBTQ individuals, and so forth. She also found these player communities to be more positive in games where anti-harassment and reporting tools were robust and easy to use. The same people who push back against this idea of safety are, interestingly enough, the same people who themselves once wanted a safe space in their fictional online worlds where they hoped they would have less accountability from behind an avatar.
And in terms of like the safe space issue in games, it is interesting to me, like before we had all this safe space snowflake alt-right language directed toward liberal communities, in World of Warcraft, we're actually talking about in 2012 about World of Warcraft being a safe space for people who are concerned that their politically incorrect speech was not acceptable in public social space anymore, or even online spaces that weren't relegated to these sort of avatar hidden personas. So yeah, it's for me, it's interesting to see this sort of reversal in a way of that the safe space rhetoric, I think, could very easily be applied to these sorts of communities that for a long time have been hiding their politically incorrect, oppressive beliefs in this sort of avatar multi-user environment. There was like this aha moment.
At the time, Angela found herself living in Denmark, where a notorious pickup artist called Rouge V was causing some controversy with his book called Don't Bang Denmark.
Yeah, he has this series of books on how to pick up women. And then he embarked on this sort of quest to go to all of these different countries and write bang guides that were specific to those contexts. So Don't Bang Denmark was really fascinating to me because he makes this very interesting correlation between the Danish social welfare system sort of impacting women's independence and sort of security, and realizing that his game was less effective in that context because of this welfare system, which will support women, you know, through various levels of education and so on. So I thought that his sort of ethnographic finding, and I do think it's an ethnographic project in its own way. Yeah, I think his finding was really fascinating to me.
For some reason, Angela found herself fascinated by this guy's outrage that the game that he designed to win encounters with women just failed to work, the more equitable and perhaps the more materially sufficient a society is. And amid all these graphic stories of the pursuits that she read, she found herself curious about the women's side of the story.
I wanted to sort of find a way to get some testimonials on the side of women who have experienced his practice. He's never including testimonials from women's perspectives in his books. So I pursued that for a while, and he learned about the project through social media, and then I ended up doing an interview with him. And that was, I guess, my big foray, my first big foray into the manosphere rabbit hole.
Ever since she made contact with this community of angry men in this way, Angela's inbox has been continually full of commentary, lots of it hostile. But she also heard from other pickup artists, or seduction coaches, as they often like to style themselves, wondering why she hadn't tried interviewing other practitioners in the community. And after a while, she began to wonder a bit more about it herself. We're going to take a short break now. When we come back, writer, artist, developer, and teacher Angela Washko tells us how her strange forays into the world of online pickup artists led her to create a very unusual and controversial dating simulator game. Stay tuned. We'd like to recommend another great podcast from The Guardian, Politics Weekly. If you're keen to keep abreast of UK and international news and politics, then this podcast is for you. The team unwind the spin and delve into the key issues that drive the people in power. To find out more, go to guardian.com/podcasts or search Politics Weekly in your favorite podcasting app. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm Lee Alexander, and we're talking to Angela Washko of Carnegie Mellon University about her projects exploring gender in digital society. After becoming fascinated by some very intense men's communities online, Angela began thinking about interesting ways to present and examine this culture of pickup artists and seduction coaches.
So, like, I'm reading all these books, and I'm like, well, now that I have, like, the systems thinking to sort of map this field out without necessarily being offended by every sentence that I read, that I felt like I was in a unique position to be able to create something that would map out the complexities of this field. There's so much information out there. There's so much lingo. I felt like the best way to have people experience it would be to have an embodied experience of interacting with all of these figures while they're practicing their game on you as the player. So a game started to become like the form that made the most sense, and also the interactivity, the familiar format of the talking head dating simulator gives it a little bit of a sugar coating or something for something that's very, very, can be very, very difficult to swallow.
For those of you who might not know, a dating simulator is a particular genre of computer game. It has a pretty well-established history. Although there are all kinds of these games out there, and there have been for years, and there are some now that are quite diverse and led by women, one prominent dating game creator working today is Christine Love. Definitely check her out. But for the most part throughout history, this genre has been one where historically you'd commonly play as a guy interacting with all these different fantasy women trying to win a relationship or a sex scene with one or all of them. The character you're speaking to appears on screen as a talking head, and you'll have these various text options you can use for each person. So already, by playing as a woman who's fielding the techniques of all these different notable seduction coaches, Angela's not only making these uncomfortable dynamics a little easier to understand, but she's wrapped something subversive in a familiar genre format. The purpose isn't so much a rigorous educational work, but to create an impact that evolves the existing conversation on these communities and these people.
My intention is to create something that translates the behaviors of seduction coaches or pickup artists and to put people into the embodied experience of those practices, because we can write about these fields till our faces turn blue, but when you watch as many hidden camera videos as I have purchased from these practitioners, it becomes very apparent to me that not only are these things actually happening, but that like the methodologies are complex and uncomfortably familiar, especially for femme-presenting people. My intention is for that embodied experience can have a lot more impact than, you know, 100 think pieces, which is probably what I would be doing otherwise somehow. I also just want to capture people and make them slow down, I guess, and I think that a game is one trick to doing that.
Angela's been showing the first chapter of the work at gallery shows and to press, and now she's working on continuing development to a fully complete version that she can distribute through some more, you know, mainstream game channels where fans of games already are. It's important to her that the work reaches outside of the channels where it will be met only with support and agreement.
In the formatting of it, you're in the most common location for pickup art, a bar, and you're just trying to, you know, catch up with your friend who you're waiting for. One pickup artist engages you, and you have a full range of options. Like, if you want to take agency, if you want to actually initiate a sexual exchange on your end, like, that's totally doable in the game, and that's really important to me, that in the game, I'm not slut-shaming anyone, I'm not denying anyone sexual autonomy, and I'm not being overtly sex negative. But when you do choose to have sexual exchanges with the pickup artists, they play out in the way that those pickup artists have described their own sexual exchanges. And some of them are pretty unpleasant.
One thing that strikes me about Angela's practice is her empathy. Like, she's gone pretty deep into this world, and she still manages to find compassion for her subjects. One or two of the seduction artists that she's profiled in the game seem to be maybe okay people who've gotten some wrong messages, or who've tried to put out practical advice for shy men who've then totally taken it in the wrong direction.
For me, one of the most complex parts of working in this territory and making this game, especially as a woman and especially as a feminist identified woman, is that like I do completely understand the need for people to figure out how to interact with women in a way that make women feel comfortable, in a way that make women feel safe, in a way that make women feel attracted to men. And I totally understand the need to level the dating playing field. However, it's when you get into the territory of how you do that and what your intentions are with that toolkit, I guess, is where I think the divisions for me occur and where questions of consent and performativity and so on come into the mix.
And how have people been responding so far?
Yeah, I've been really like quite honored by the response to it. A lot of women have responded that the territory is familiar and that they haven't seen something that has really embodied these types of exchanges quite in this way before. It's been interesting seeing the responses from men, because I feel like men get freaked out by it when they play it. Even like the most like liberal, sweet man. This is an experience that some people experience every time they go out into public space.
For her next project, Angela Washko will be making a documentary on this LA-based house from whence a lot of the pickup artist culture we know today has spawned.
The fields of pickup art or seduction art, it is really complex, and I have been interested in exploring that complexity and presenting it to audiences that are outside of those communities, because those communities are so insular and they really do talk to themselves. And so I'm really interested in how to sort of map out the breadth of the different types of practices and present them to audiences that wouldn't normally interact with them or discover them.
So as a woman with a visible internet presence, and especially in tech, I've had a lot of experiences of hostility from men online. And, you know, I have to say that interest or curiosity has not always been my first reaction. The author of Don't Bang Denmark, whom Angela did that long-running public dialogue with, put me on a list entitled 27 Attractive Girls Who Became Ugly Freaks Because of Feminism. And I mean, I know Angela's digital life has not been easy since engaging with these people. So why do this? What's motivating her to do these sort of neutral, almost artistic depictions of these communities?
Since I've become familiar with these communities, I've been frustrated with the lack of complexity around the way that they're written about, with a few exceptions. Like Katie J.M. Baker's writing on Don't Bang Denmark was so fascinating that it led me to this project. The writing tends to be so polarized and so dichotomous and so much like what we experienced in the election in a lot of ways, in the U.S., of course. I at least want to be able to map out this field in a way that has maybe less regard for the echo chambers that we experience online, and not to say that it's in any way objective or rational, because I don't really believe in either of those terms. Yeah, I'm not necessarily interested in being particularly persuasive, because I just don't think that's how media works right now. It's not like, ta-da, see, I crossed over to the manosphere, and now I'm like showing you how complex it is. The goal isn't that. I think it's just that desire to see more things in the world that attempt to portray things with a greater degree of complexity, that we can present things that are complex and still have them be accessible.
I think, too, it's just a pleasure for me to speak to another woman who's very involved in digital society and who has experienced similar things to what I went through in the online game community, but who has responded to her experiences in a different way. To me, there's nothing to say this kind of curiosity and dialogue and interrogation, this empathy and humanization even, is not permitted, even if that's not how I feel toward these particular subjects. I don't really put too much stock in complaints about outrage culture, because there are a lot of issues where outrage is warranted and women and people of color are already told enough to stop being angry on the internet. But it is also true that there are other frames besides anger, and that some of those may be enlightening for folks who have the spare cycles or the resources, the inspiration to apply them. Big thanks to Angela Washko for coming on Chips with Everything to talk about her work, as well as her game on pickup artists, which is called The Game, The Game. You can find out more about this and other projects of hers at AngelaWashko, WASHKO.com. That's all we have for you today. If you like this show, please help us out with a rating and a review on iTunes. And don't forget to subscribe to Chips with Everything on your favorite podcasting app. I've been your host, Lee Alexander, and my producer is Ian Chambers. Please look forward to our next episode, and we'll see you then.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.